Good morning. Welcome, shalom, to program number 11. My name is Pierre Roussel, Pierre, and today is Sunday, February 16th, 2014. Today we are recording, yes, program 11, but this is a continuation of part 5 of the series, Your Inoculation Against Deception. It's a continuation because I never got to finish my notes last week. So we're going to wrap this part 5 today, and not the series, just the part 5. And before I get into this, I just want to, this came to me before I picked up David this morning. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now. And I don't want to get into the great details of it right now, but, and the Bible does talk about last days, or the last of the last days. I believe the last days was when Jesus came, and then the last of the last is right before Jesus comes back. That's the way I read it right now. There's all kinds of things happening out there. Religious, in the religious realm, in the natural realm, in the secular realm. You know, and it's so easy, because it's being broadcasted on the news and all that, and I watch a little bit of news. Really, I only watch some news for not everything, just certain things, especially on the religious side of things. Sometimes I get more out of them than I do out of some of the Christian programs out there. So, hint, hint, we need to change that. We need to reform that. But, and I know what the Word says about what Jesus said and what Paul talks about the last days and the Antichrist and all these different things, and it is going to happen. But God showed me something a few years ago that, you know, that still does not change God's will for man. That's man doing those things. And we're going to get into that down days. Boy, oh boy, I don't know when, but it's going to come. And the days of Noah and the days of Lot and all these different things. And God gave me some great insight a few years ago on that. But it doesn't change the fact that God wants every human being out there to be saved, to be sozoed, and to come to the accurate knowledge of the truth. That's God's plan. These things that are happening, it's not God doing these things. It's man. It's the reaping of the consequences of the reaping from what we've sown. And yes, we are heading into the last day. You know, God's going to end up setting up his kingdom on this planet eventually. Heaven's going to come and be on planet Earth for eternity. For the eternity of the eternities. You know, but it does not change the fact that God wants to work in the midst of all of that and reverse a lot of that, believe it or not. And it depends where your faith is at. If you don't believe that, then you won't be part of God working. And if you do believe, then you will be part of God working his plan of redemption, his plan of riddance, his plan of reversal. I get to touch on that a little bit right now, because that's what God's plan of redemption is all about. It's about reversing things. It's about getting rid of things. If you even look up the word redemption in the Greek, it literally, if you break it all down and in context of the whole word, it literally means a reversal. That's why, like, even touching on, you know, recreation, recreated, that word palingenesis, it's a reversal of things. Even this word reformation, found in Hebrews 9:10. Most translations have the word reformation. I like the word reformation because we are heading into a huge reformation. A lot of people disagree with that, but a lot of people, I don't care what people agree or disagree with. As long as God is showing me these things, that's what I go by. But even that Greek word has the idea, well, it's made up of dia and the word orthos. And it's setting things right, setting things straight, you know? And we're going to touch on that down the road. But I just want to, I say this as an exhortation to get your eyes. I don't want you to be, we need to be not ignorant of what's happening out there in the world. God doesn't want us to be ignorant, but we got to, it's kind of a fine line. We have to kind of keep our eyes on what's happening out there, but at the same time, we got to give our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our mouths full attention to what the Word of God says and to what God is saying to us today. Whether you're in Canada, whether you're in America, whether you're in Japan, Asia, wherever you may be, and the different continents in the world. You know, God has a plan of redemption that he wants to work. And like I said, faith puts God to work. And if you don't have faith, then God won't work in your area. And you're going to experience a lot of calamities. You're going to experience a lot. I was just looking at some of the prophecies that were given to me a few years ago. And the Lord was saying that a lot of tragedies are coming on the planet. But we don't have to be part of those tragedies. We can actually reverse some of those tragedies. Believe it or not, we can. By putting God to work, His angels to work, the Holy Spirit to work, through the body of Christ. That's why God has given me this huge mandate to get the body of Christ lined up with the Word so God can get work done on this planet. God is not into tragedy. God is not the author of tragedy. God is not the author of catastrophes. In the Old Testament, it's a little bit different, but He had a reason for that. But man brought it on himself. But God is out to save mankind. And we need to really renew our minds to that, because I got into, years ago, a lot of, this may offend some of you, but that's not my problem. I got into a lot of Puritan theology. And I learned lots from my Puritan brothers in the Puritan era. We have one on my intro. We have Richard Baxter up there. Richard Baxter is one of my heroes, you know. But they had a lot of bad theology concerning God's sovereignty. So, and we're going to get into that down the road. So let's move on here. From what I left off on last week concerning John 7:24, sowing the word will make you, quote unquote, judgmental in the right sense of the word, as in judging righteously, being honest in your judgment. That's the amplified here for John 7:24. And do not decide at a glance superficially or by appearances, but judge fairly and righteously. Because there is a righteous judgment that is greatly lacking in the body of Christ. And I'm not the first one who said that. And I've made notes of that over the years, and that's all in my journal. And David's helped me put my journal together right now. And we're actually in 2006. But I've made a lot of notes concerning things I've heard on television by men of God, women of God, that basically said the same thing that I was saying, and it's a type of confirmation. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, just because you find somebody who agrees with you, it doesn't mean you're right. But I know what God showed me concerning reformers, concerning being truthful, concerning bringing correction in the body of Christ. The Bible is full of references to that. We're going to look at a couple things today concerning that. And we seem to be afraid to speak truth in the body, especially those who have the truth. We seem to be afraid, because, and I know why, because we've been told not to judge. We've been told, don't touch God's anointing and God's anointed one and all that. And there is a place for that. But at the same time, we need the whole counsel of God concerning these things. We need the full picture. And I do have a big part of the picture now. And another plug for Dave Roberson and Gary Carpenter. God used them to help me big time in helping me understand some of the things that God was trying to show me before I got into their teachings. And I haven't even listened to Dave and Gary in almost over 3 years now. But they had such an impact. And from starting the end of 2006, 2007, 2008 is when I went to a conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma to meet Dave and Gary and sit under their teaching, and which I was already getting a lot of their tapes here back home. And 2009, but around 2010, that's almost 4 years ago, God began to really wean me from some of their teaching, not because it was wrong, because I had assimilated so much of what they were teaching, things that God was already trying to show me, was showing me, and then God had to wean me off of that to get me more specifically in what God had in mind for, quote-unquote, missionary enterprises. And not Gary Carpenter Ministries or Dave Roberson Ministries. It's missionary enterprise. That's my calling, you know. So, but I still endorse them, and I always try to put in a plug for these guys, because I believe they're tremendous. I believe they're reformers, we need to bring these things to light. Greatly lacking in the body, righteous judgment in the church at this time. Deception has been around since the fall of man. That's a no-brainer. If anybody knows the Bible, and as accurate as the Bible is, it is the most accurate document that we have concerning truth, concerning mankind, the history of mankind. Genesis 3, that's where it all began. The whole chapter, Genesis 3. Don't have time to go there. And with everything that's going on in the church and in the world today, I mean, it's amazing that some of those things that their Sun News TV are bringing to light concerning what's happening in the world, governments, stuff like that, things that you won't even hear on most other secular programs. And this is really a secular TV news channel, except Brian Lilly, I know he's Catholic, and Michael Korn's Catholic. It was once an evangelical. I don't know why he left, but anyhow. And I know Ezra Levant is Jewish. I don't think these guys are quite born again yet. Maybe Korn is. But they do bring a lot of things to the surface. And I really appreciate these guys. So concerning what's happening in the world. And we need to know what's happening out there concerning the desperation. And that's what I wrote here. We desperately need this message, as we always have. Many things are being spewed. Spewed as truth. Yet it's error. We have preachers that are, man, I mean, the way they come across, I'll tell you, it's as if what they're saying is 100% accuracy of truth. They are so passionate about it. They come across, they are fully convinced of it. And you know what? It's error. And we're going to get into that down the road. It's error. And it's going on undetected, therefore unchallenged and not confronted. And I'm careful in saying this because it has to be done right. And I remember one of the words that the Lord had given Dave concerning this whole message, mortification, transformation, which is part of your inoculation against deception. You know, the greatest key that God has given the church, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the greatest key he's given the body of Christ to inoculate itself against deception is our transformation into the image of God's firstborn, into the image of the second Adam. That is the greatest key. Because there is no deception in Christ. There is no error, falsehood. There is no half-truths. There's no teaching the word out of context. There's no wrong interpretations in Christ. I don't mean like in union with Christ. I mean in Christ himself. There is none of that. So the more you give yourself over to what it takes to be transformed into his image and not into an image of your favorite preacher, which I fell into that trap years ago, and they were great preachers, but they had things that they were teaching that were wrong. And the more you give yourself over to this, what it takes to inoculate yourself against deception, the more, which is a big key, is your transformation to image, you will get free from all error. And if for some of you, you think that's impossible, well, you need to get rid of that mindset right there. Because if you think it's impossible, then it will become impossible to you, because it all depends upon your believing. I was telling David the other day, it's going on about 2 weeks, so we're leaving. I was leaving his house, and he was talking about, you know, working out some things in his life and all that, and the issues that he's dealing with and all that, and God is setting him free from and all that. And I said, it just popped right out of my mouth that I've written on this, and I'll teach on it down the road. Don't work on your behavior. Work on your believing. I'll tell you, I feel like doing a teaching on that right now, because the church is so caught up, not everywhere, but overall, the church is just so caught up in its behavior. Oh, I got this wrong, and that's good that you see what's wrong in your life. It's good, because if you don't see what's wrong with you, then you can't do nothing about it, you know? But the thing is, though, God has already done something about it at the cross. Positionally. And, you know, I don't really have time to get into this, but just a little bit here. Quit trying to live holy. Quit trying to be perfect. Some people say, well, we're not called to be perfect. Huh, you don't know the Word of God. In Colossians it says we're perfect in Christ. You know, we're complete in Christ. I had a huge debate with somebody a few years ago over this, and she totally disagreed with me. I said, and I gave her like 10 verses on this stuff. And the strongholds, I mean, my goodness, it's amazing. You know how the mind believes things, the believer's mind believes things that God doesn't even believe about God, the believer. You know? So, you know, quit trying to be holy and just transform, start working at believing that what God has already made you to be in Christ. You are already holy. You're blameless. You're irreproachable. You're the righteousness of God. You're healed. You're prosperous. You're all, you are what Christ is in his humanity. One of the greatest verses God ever brought to my attention, among many, but one of the greatest ones was Colossians 3:4. Christ, in the Greek, Christ, my life. Woo! That means his life is my life, is to be my life. And people say, well, how does that all work out? Well, that's because you're righteous in that new creation, in your new, your recreated spirit. That's where you're holy. That's where you're blameless. That's where you're irreproachable. That's where all those things are, because you have his nature. The very nature that Jesus was born with in his humanity, you were born again with. There you go. Okay? I got to move on here, because we're going to have a continuation to this part next week. But that's going to set you, that's going to set you free right there. Just that thought right there. Quit trying to be holy. Get those verses on who you are in Christ. Start renewing your mind to it. Put those verses in your mouth. Quit coming in agreement with what you are now. Now, it's good that you see. If you've got sin in your life, I'm not saying, I'm not saying at all to ignore your sin. I'm not saying that at all. Don't you dare say that I've said that. No way. I tell you, if somebody's against sin, it's moi. I tell you, I hate sin. I got set free from sin and I never went back to my vomit, and I have no intention on going back to my vomit. No way. I love my freedom. Now, I'm not saying I don't have no sin at all in my life, but I'm nowhere near sinning the way I used to before I got born again. And I shared on that in my testimony, my biography. So go to my biography for all that. I don't have time for that. But I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live in disease. You don't have to live in your present condition. I don't care what the world says. You're not of this world. You're part of a brand new race. A brand new race in Christ, the new Adam. A new race, a new Adam brought a new race who brought a new nature. I mean, a new creation. I mean, I'm going to do a huge, huge teaching on that, because I'm all worked up about this. Obviously, you can tell my hands are just flying all over the place, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I used to get all worked up about sin before I got born again. You know, I used to be an expert on sin. Well, now I'm becoming an expert on the Word of God. So anyhow, here we are. It's going on undetected, therefore unchallenged, not confronted, and to some large degree, we've been told not to give voice to our disapproval, our suspicions, which is not what the Word teaches at all. It's true. We're going to get into this. Maybe not today. I got so much on my heart this morning, you know, and that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. When you're full of the Word, I'll tell you, you know, me and David, we work on my journal, and I read a little line, and boom, I'm gone. I got to stop myself, because then, you know, we're not writing, we're not working on my journal, we're not working on my notes. But that's what happens, you know? Things get pulled out of me. Things get pulled out of me, and they come to the surface. But this is good. This is for your freedom. And it's part of your inoculation against deception. Because I read books. I mean, you know, I got a few books, and you know, I read things years ago where young men would go to their pastor and say, "Oh, pastor, you know, I'm struggling with this, and I'm having thoughts towards women, you know." And that's good that, you know, like, I mean, I'm not married yet, and man, I see a good-looking girl, say, whew, you know, but that's it. I don't have no desire to sleep with her. I don't have no desire to go masturbate or anything like that, or watch porno. It's good that you look at a girl as a man and say, whew, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. If I start doing that towards men, whew, you know what? Get me off the air. You know? It's good. But I read this years ago, and it didn't sit well with me, but it was basically, it's still in the church today. Well, the pastor said to the young man, well, you'll be struggling with that as long as you're here on this planet. That's deception in itself. You know? So we can get free from anything that is not of God, anything that is not in Christ, we need to get free from it. You know? So here it is, right here. Lacking spiritual discernment makes us vulnerable. Listen to this. Vulnerable and susceptible. Now, some of these words I use sometimes, I wish I would have had them written down in my on my paper here. We will, you know, down the road, we're going to do more of that out of Webster's Dictionary and stuff like that. Just to bring greater clarity and definition to some of these words I'm using here. But it makes us vulnerable and susceptible to all kinds of misleading indoctrinations and teachings, as well as making us gullible or a simpleton, which simply means as being easily led astray from all sorts of wrong influences, right in our own backyards. Right in our own backyards. Meaning, what do I mean by right in our own backyard? Meaning, every form of media, television, radio, DVDs, CDs, whatever, internet, even Christian media, including your local friendly church. I don't have it here, but it's just coming to me, so I'm gonna get it out there. There was a word that came a few years ago on the Miracle Channel, and this is going quite a few years ago. This is when Dick and Joan were the hosts of the Miracle Channel, and the guy prophesied, and I know it was a real prophecy, that there was going to be more error coming from the pulpit than ever before, and it's a work of the enemy, because people, and it should be this way, but it's not. People think automatically, just because they walk into a church building, that they're going to hear the truth. Well, that's not so. It should be that way, because of what the Word says about the church. But if we knew what everything the Word says about deception in the church, when I heard that prophecy, I said, oh my goodness. You know, Alistair Petrie, I love that guy. And I mentioned names to promote ministries, to promote the body. And he said, the Lord told him that old heresies are coming back into the church. Heresies that haven't been around, that went dormant, that went underneath, that were challenged years ago, they're coming back to the surface. Why? Because the church is not on guard. The church is not taking seriously the Word of God. And what God is saying, the church overall, a big part of the church, is not hearing what God is saying. I mean, in Revelation, we need to have ears what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You know, it's the Holy Spirit who makes this book relevant. He's ultimately the one who makes this book very relevant. And this Alistair Petrie was saying that the Lord told him, old heresies are coming back. Well, where? In the world? No, not in the world. In the church. You know? We expect the world to be full of error as Christians. We expect that. It's the world. They're blinded by the god of this world. They're walking in ignorance. They're children of wrath. They're children of disobedience. All this kind of stuff. Boy, I'm way off. That's okay. It's a good preach. And some of you, a lot of us need to hear this. Right in your own backyard. Your friendly local church. And I wrote here, I'm not painting a pretty picture, but it's all out there, and it's time for a reality check. I like that word, reality check. I don't have to again, look it up in Webster's. I'll touch on it down the road. I use it for my Christmas teaching on Christmas. More specifically, a royal reality check. You know? So saved or unsaved hearts, we as believers have the right, and we've been given the authority, the right, the privilege, the benefits to know people's thoughts. Yes, we do. We have absolutely the right to know the hearts. I mean, Paul talked about, you know, knowing people by the Spirit. Dave, on one of his tapes, this is years ago, that he had built so much of the Word inside of him and inoculation against deception that when people, new people, would walk into his church or into the church building there where he pastors with Gary and other, you know, with Tim and all that, God, he was so in tune with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would give Dave just a quick biographical sketch of that person so that Dave could know that person according to God's standards, whether it was good or not. Sometimes Dave would have a type of assumption of that person because of the way they looked, And it was all wrong because of outward appearances. And God would show him things about this guy, you know? And I said, wow. I said, man. I said, that's, you know, that's not, imagine if pastors walked in that. But this is for every believer. It's just called discernment. It's part of the gifts of the Spirit, too. Discerning the spirits. I mean, you know, we are so far off the mark. It's ridiculous. I mean, I got so critical years ago, and I got so discouraged. I said, man, we are way off the Word. The more you get into the Word, the more the Word gets inside of you. That's where the Word gets inside of you, is when you get into the Word for yourself. And especially with the Holy Spirit. I mean, He's there to teach you. He can teach you things that no man can teach you. You know? And the more you get into this Word, I'll tell you, you're gonna have all kinds of red flags going up, and red lights and green lights and this and that, and going off on the inside of you concerning what you're hearing. And that was made available since the cross. And it was, even to a certain degree, it was made available before the cross. But now that we have the Holy Spirit and all that, and the full canon of the Word. And so here, in just quickly here in Matthew 12, 34 to 37, you know, it talks about, well, Jesus is talking about, you know, you brood of vipers, you offspring of vipers, talking about the mouth, the heart. You know, unless you're really good at being a hypocrite, and there's lots of them out there. I used to be one. Not that I wanted to do it on purpose, but I used to be one. Double-minded, whatever, double standards. You know, you act one way one minute, and then, you know, next minute you're acting another way. You know, you go to church, you're out, you know, you got your kumbayas, and you got your hands up in the air, and then you walk out, you have a cigarette, or you go watch your porn, or you beat up your wife, or you're acting nasty to your wife and stuff like that. You know, this is rampant, you know, and it's unacceptable, you know. But the thing is, though, is that I've learned over the years that I can tell what's in the inside of a person, whether within a couple minutes, just hearing what's coming out of his mouth, because of a verse like that. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaks. I can tell. You know, I can tell what he's full of. And that's just the way it is. And that goes for me too. Sometimes I can tell where my faith is at or where it's not at by what comes out of my mouth, especially first thing in the morning. Woo! Yeah. God wants us to be able. He wants us to be empowered to discern, to judge the heart, the soul, and its content. Meaning what's on the inside, in order to protect us from wrong choices, wrong decisions, protecting us from making assumptions, presumptions regarding Himself and His Word. Back to Hebrews 4:12. Concerning Kritikos, the Word of God, the Word of Truth, His Word. We know that in Luke 8:11, the Word is a seed, given us in seed form. John 8:31, 32 to 36 talks about abiding in the Word abiding in you. Talks about knowing the truth will set you free. These are huge. This is really big. If the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. Well, the Son, who's the Son? It's Christ, God's firstborn Son. He's out to set us free. You know? So, going back to Galatians 4:19, Christ being formed in you. It all ties in together. All ties in together. One reference out of many that must be brought out to our attention at this time is found in Ephesians 4:12-14 here. In order to shed more light and understanding to everything that I've said so far from the beginning of this series, in order to prove that I'm not exaggerating. I am not exaggerating. I'm not trying to make things worse or sound worse than what they really are. No way. I tell you, I was telling David yesterday. I tell you, I wish we were not in this mess, but we are, and we need to make the best of it. That's all there is to it. I've thought that many times since I've been born again. Oh, my goodness. What kind of mess have we gotten ourselves into? Well, you know what? Okay, then move on. You know, God has given us the tools to bring change and to help people and to help ourselves. You know, get us out of our quote-unquote sticky situations. I think there used to be a game called that. My nephew used to play with my parents when they visit. Beginning of the series, order to prove that I'm not exaggerating, nor am I trying to sound a false alarm, nor am I trying to bring division between leaders and those they lead, but to bring a right, accurate, precise comprehension regarding deception and what God himself has to say about it, and not what man has said or saying or shall say about it. We need to go to God and see what God says about all this. And God has given us much, much in his word. And if you'll take the time to spend time with him, he will show you great things, great insight concerning this. Real quickly here, Ephesians 4. We have to look at Ephesians 4. Especially verse 14. This is, I'll tell you, there's so much to this. Here it says, so then we may no longer be children. Now that word children there is Strong's number 3516. Literally means to act as a baby, be a child, simple-minded, and immature Christian, childish. Tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching, wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. The prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery, in inventing errors to mislead. Now, if you think, I don't want to throw this pen at you guys, but if you guys think that this verse is referring to people in the world, well, you're being deceived already. You know, it's going back to people that don't believe that the devil exists. Well, he's already got them. That's his whole plan. So if you think that this verse is people out there in the world, no. This is in the church. This is in the church. And there's a verse that's coming to me right now. And I'm going to get into it. I'm going to go over my time a little bit. It's okay. It's my program. And I get to do whatever I need to do at this time. And I'm just going to give you the reference. This is something that I saw years ago. And I said, ouch. Oh, my goodness. And God really brought this to my attention. I just want you guys to take on your time to go to Acts 20. Acts 20. Especially starting with verse 19 and go all the way to verse 34. But I'll tell you, that's jam-packed with what I'm talking about right now. Especially verse 29, 30, and 31. That is so huge. That's in the church. That's in the church. You know, and I love the church. Because the church is my brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're God's sons. It's God's family. I love the church. Don't ever think that I don't love the church. I love the church. But I love more the head. Because I tell you, he's brilliant. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. So here it is. Verse 14. I wrote here, I have no time to even come close to unpack this reference. But all I like to say at this moment is, in order to walk and live in verse 14. Okay? No longer being children. There's nothing worse than people that have been born again for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they still act like they've been saved for 2 days. I'll tell you, that irritates me. I know it irritates a lot of people. I'm not the only one. I think it irritates God, if you really get into his word. It irritated Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. But we must at least begin to walk and operate out of the two previous verses. You can't walk in verse 14 without walking in verse 13 and 12. You can't. It's impossible. And even, I'll even go further, I'll add verse 11. And that's, I can't get into that right now, which is a whole other series in itself, especially in light of 1 Timothy 3:15, which I'm going to read out here. Paul says here, if I'm detained, you may know how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and stay, the prop and support of the truth, the Amplified. You know? So, I'm just going to look up at a couple words here, just to wrap things up here, this continuation of part 5. Going back to verse 14, Ephesians 4, we looked up the word children. I'm going to use Green's translation, because it's less encumbering. It's more, the Amplified's got a lot of words in there, which is great. But this word here, in the slate of men, that's 29:40. And even the word craftiness, it's 38:34. And even trickery, 31:80, Strong's. They all have the idea of that word, trickery. So, you know, we got the word trick, we got the word trickster, you know, even do a word study in Webster's dictionary or a good English dictionary, or we in French we have the word tromperie. Don't get into that right now. But this word here, slate 29:40, literally means a gambling artifice or fraud, implying trickery. The word craftiness, panurgia, it's 38:34. Trickery, sophistry, cunning, craftiness, subtlety, shrewdness, to be crafty, unscrupulousness. The employment of any or all means necessarily to realize an end. Well, what is that end? To deceive, to mislead, to lead astray, right? According to verse 14 here. The last word here, trickery, according to Green's. It's the word methodia. That's a big word used for the enemy. It's 31:80. And it basically has the same idea. The pursuing of an orderly and technical procedure in the handling of a subject, an issue, a teaching, and even people. This is all going to fit into my the series that we're going to do down the road. Is Satan's... Dave's got called it Satan's war machine. We're going to call it Satan's war engines and his militaristic machinations. We're going to look at things that we need to look at. And the last word here in verse 14, of error. We've already looked at one before. It's the word planos, plain. It's 4106. So, not painting a pretty picture, but I'm not one of those who tries to avoid truth or tries to avoid what's really out there, not only in the world, but in the church world. We need to confront what is wrong. You know, we're going to give an account. That's a whole different series. We're going to give an account. I've prayed too much. And I'm going to pray some more. And I'm going to fast some more. And I'm going to sow some more. And the more I do that, the more I'm accountable to God. And that's okay. Because you know what? There are hurting people out there. Whether they're saved or not, they're hurting. And they need help. And God is trying to get to them. And if he can't get them through you, then he won't be able to get to them. And you know what? You've got to quit saying, well, God will use somebody else. You know what? He can use somebody else. But there comes to a place where, you know what? No, you're it. You're it. You're it. And you're going to give an account of what you've done with what God has given us. And I'm going to take this a little further. And a lot of people are not going to like this one. But you're going to give an account to Jesus, to the head of the church, the second Adam, your elder brother, by the way. You're going to give an account to what he had planned for you, not what you thought. Ephesians 2:10. Good works planned beforehand. You're going to give an account of that. And you're saying, you're going to say, well, you're telling me now, well, I don't know. Well, that's your problem, because he's given us the Spirit of Truth who resides on the inside of you to guide us into all the truth, to lead us, you know, to teach us all things. That's what he's there for. You know, you can use all kinds of excuses. You know, sometimes my mom goes, you know, zip it. That's like, and there's a time I need to zip it. But you know what? I told her, I said, you won't be able to tell that to Jesus when you stand before him. You won't be able to tell, when he starts, you know, in a loving way, but he's going to start saying this and that and that and this, and, you know, where you get rewards, you lose rewards. You know, we need to get ready for that day. And I'm getting ready every day. I keep very short accounts with God. Very short accounts. How do you do that? By spending a lot of time with him and letting him be God with you. You know, we like to be free with God, right? I mean, we got to be careful with that. But I like to go to God, and he's my Father, and, you know. But what about him being free with us to tell us things that we may not want to hear? Huh? What about that? So anyhow, I'm wrapping up. It's it for now. I'm way over my time. And just want to encourage you to share these teachings with other people. And God is for you. There's a lot of work to get done. And I don't care where you are. You know, if there's faith, God can work. I don't care where you are, what country. I know we got it pretty good here right now in Canada. But I don't care where you are. You got to get your eyes off your circumstances. You got to start learning to walk by faith and not by sight. And start watching God move in your circumstances and in your church, your ministry, whatever. Whether you're an old believer, a new believer, it doesn't matter. Faith is faith. God is not moved by that stuff. You know? So, just to encourage you, keep up the good fight of faith. And we will see you shortly. Amen.